This is WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. Long Islanders will choose candidates for three congressional districts tomorrow. A Bridgeport community celebrates Cape Verde's historic World Cup debut. Plus, Connecticut is pouring millions into the emerging quantum industry. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Long Island voters are choosing their party's candidates in three congressional districts tomorrow. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio has more.
In New York's first congressional district, Democrats will choose whether Chris Gallant or Lucas Ventouris will challenge Republican incumbent Nick LaLota in November. In the third district, Democratic incumbent Tom Suozzi is facing a primary challenge from Danielle Welch, while Republicans will choose between Mike LaPetri or Greg Hack. And in southern Nassau County, Republicans Janine Driscoll and Marvin Williams are running to take on Democratic incumbent Laura Gillen in the 4th Congressional District. There are no primary elections in the 2nd District, currently held by Republican Andrew Garbarino. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
Armed security guards will be stationed at public schools in Milford next fall. WSHU's Shelley Hassman-Kadish reports on a decision by school district officials.
The Board of Aldermen passed a school budget request from the Board of Education that includes more than $500,000 for armed security officers. According to a post by Connecticut State Police, officials said a surge in swatting incidents in schools around the state points to a need for an armed presence in the schools. The middle and high schools have resource officers on campus. The armed officers will also be in the elementary schools now. The officers must meet state requirements, including law enforcement experience, background checks, ongoing firearms training, and mental health training. Shelley Hassman-Kadish, WSHU News.
The tiny African island nation of Cape Verde continued their historic debut World Cup appearance by holding Uruguay at a 2-2 draw in Miami last night. WSHU's Ebong Udama was at a viewing party at a Cape Verdean social club in Bridgeport and has this report.
That was the sound of jubilation at the packed Cape Verdean Social Club in the Hollow section of Bridgeport as the country scored its first ever World Cup goal.
My confidence level just went up to the roof, especially after this goal.
That's Amando Barboza from Seymour. Nadia from Ansonia was also confident.
I know we're going to win. I know that. I already prayed on it. We are a small country, but we have a big heart.
By halftime, Uruguay had equalized and were up by a goal. The Cape Verdean fans were not demoralized, according to Barboza.
We still got the hope. We're trying to keep everybody motivated and, you know, ready for our celebration. We feel like we got this.
And they weren't disappointed. Their team tied the game in the second half.
For me, this is like an unbelievable moment. In my 50th year, I could never imagine ever seeing my country in the world stage. So this is an amazing opportunity for us.
Cape Verde held European powerhouse Spain to a 0-0 draw in their first game. Ebon Udama, WSH News.
Could New Haven be the next Silicon Valley? A conversation on that is coming up.
Tiny desk, big sound. What started in a small office has become one of public radio's favorite music experiences. Hear 2026 Tiny Desk Contest winner Cure for Paranoia, along with other standout artists from this year's competition live at Warsaw in Brooklyn. It's a chance to discover new music, experience the spirit of the Tiny Desk in person, and connect with fellow public radio listeners. July 9th at Warsaw in Brooklyn. Tickets and details at WSHU.org.
A 51-year-old Connecticut man from Niantic has died after falling from an upper level at Madison Square Garden. At the time of his fall, Paul Cooker was attending a concert with his wife Saturday night. Police say their investigation is ongoing, but they've ruled out foul play.
Adventureland Amusement Park in East Farmingdale has reopened following a dramatic rescue Friday night involving 15 kids stuck on a ride. It took firefighters over 2 hours to remove riders from the Wave Twister using a cherry picker. A park spokesperson says the Wave Twister will remain closed until further notice. Stratford-based Sikorsky has received a $525 million contract from the production of the CH-53K heavy lift helicopter. The work will be carried out at the Stratford headquarters and at the Trumbull Commercial Operations site. New York State has announced a $28 million funding package to repair roads, dams, and bridges destroyed in Stony Brook and Smithtown during the August 2024 downpour. Also included in the package is $12 million to repair a seawall in Ashorokin and flood mitigation in Copeg. The state of Connecticut will cover the majority of the cost for a new elementary school building in Fairfield. WSHU's Molly Ingram was with Governor Lamont today as he made the announcement.
The current Dwight Elementary School was built in 1962, and officials say it's run its course. The new school will be built on the field behind the existing one, and then the old one will be torn down. The project is expected to cost around $76 million in total. Connecticut will reimburse the town for about 75% of the cost. The campus will also feature a space for special education and a wing for early childhood education to serve the whole district.
You want your special ed kids not to have to go an hour out of town and cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. They've anticipated that, a special ed facility here. We're doubling down on early childhood and pre-K. They're going to have special pre-K facilities built in. So when we're ready to go, they're ready to go.
Construction is expected to be finished in 2029. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
Could New Haven be the next Silicon Valley? WSHU's Ebong Udama spoke with the Connecticut Mirror's PR Lockhart to discuss her in-depth reporting on this. Their conversation is part of the collaborative podcast, Long Story Short.
Last November, Connecticut's Economic Development Director, Dan O'Keefe, announced with fanfare that the state is investing $121 million in a regional effort to develop quantum computing. Is that what prompted you to investigate this? By the way, what is quantum computing?
So I'll start with what quantum computing is first, and then we'll handle, kind of how I got into reporting. I am not a physicist by trade. I'm going to give it probably a very basic explanation, but from what I've been told, quantum computing is really using the ability of quantum mechanics and quantum physics to really enhance how calculations get done. So if this technology is fully realized, in theory, computing power just, it goes up tremendously for certain types of applications.
Now, so, Yale University is involved with this. In what way?
A couple of ways. Looking at quantum as a field, Yale has been at the forefront of research around quantum science and quantum technology, dating back decades. Last year, the Nobel Prize in Physics went actually to a Yale professor. He was part of a team that had made some foundational breakthroughs in quantum physics and quantum knowledge. Yale has a quantum institute that has been around for about 12 years. It was one of the first of this type of institute in the country. They've made a lot of big developments in quantum. But as far as what I'm writing about in this recent story, I focus on Yale as being a part of this thing called Quantum CT, which is a nonprofit collaboration between Yale, the University of Connecticut, and the state. And together they're trying to, you know, turn quantum from all of this research that Yale has been leading in into an actual commercial sector that can then drive economic growth in the state.
So the $121 million, how was that invested?
What has happened to this point is there was $1 million that was given out early to kind of help support some of the foundational, you know, building of this network that is going on in the state right now. There was $10 million dedicated to Quantum CT through the Department of Economic and Community Development's Innovation Clusters Program. And that's a program that's seeding a larger set of efforts in New Haven. Of that larger set, $10 million is going to go straight to Quantum CTE for this ecosystem building. Then there's $50 million that the state has already dedicated to Quantum CTE that they can now access to help build out, you know, some infrastructure they're doing in New Haven and some other projects they're working on. So together, that's $61 million. So I just explained half of the money. The other half, the other $60 million, that only gets given to Quantum CTE if the organization wins a federal competition it's currently involved in.
Now, how do they get that federal investment? How do they qualify for it? How do they win the competition?
Yeah, so what the state is, what Quantum CTE is competing in right now is a thing called the National Science Foundation's Regional Innovation Engines Competition. It's a competition meant to basically increase economic development projects based on science and technology. And it's meant to increase these efforts in parts of the country that don't traditionally, you know, have these sorts of economic technology-based efforts. That competition opened in 2024. We've been competing in it for a minute. Quantum CTE is actually now a finalist in the competition. So it's now one of 15 projects eligible for federal funding.
Now, what's Quantum CTE doing to try and get minority communities involved in this? Because very often with high tech, minority communities are left behind.
So far, Quantum CTE's done a couple of things they've told me about. They've launched a community impact pilot, and that pilot was really partnering with nonprofits in different parts of the state to kind of start building that sort of education infrastructure and that sort of talent pipeline for Quantum right now. So in my story, I write about two different initiatives, one with a New Haven and Stanford-based nonprofit called Day. And what Day is doing is they're launching a curriculum, and it's going to be one of the first curriculum programs for high schoolers in the country. And they're going to be able to learn hands-on how quantum computing works, interact with the technology. And by the time this full curriculum program launches, they'll actually be able to start getting, you know, college level experience with some of this science. The other program is being done by Ready CT, which is a workforce development program in the state. And they actually are developing a pilot curriculum that they're launching in high schools. And that's less technical than Day's. It's more of just increasing familiarity with quantum and explaining what it is to people while they're still in school. But that program's also kind of happening. I've been told there's other initiatives too, like the organization, like Quantum CTE is working with Concord in New Haven to do some work around quantum workforce development in Black communities. But all of this is still very much new. And I think that's a kind of a question to ask them at every stage of their process moving forward is what is being done to make sure that you're constantly catching as many people as possible in this so that the state money benefits as many residents as possible.
So a PR bottom line here is the possibility of a Silicon Valley developing around New Haven. Is that something that we can see happening right now?
I think we definitely are seeing the beginnings of something that could be promising. And I think if the state executes everything well, this could hopefully pay off.
Okay, well, thank you so much, PR.
Thank you.
PR Lockhart is the Connecticut Mirror's economic development reporter. Long Story Short comes from WSHU Public Radio and the Connecticut Mirror. Subscribe to the podcast to hear more from PR about her investigation of Connecticut's bet on quantum computing to unlock new economic growth. Available wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Ebong Udama.
For the latest from around Long Island Sound, listen on the radio, online with our free app, and of course, tune in right here to the After All Things podcast every weekday evening. And don't forget to check out our new merch shop. Support the news and music you love and look cool while doing it. It's on our website. Click shop up at the top. I'm Sabrina Garone. Thanks for being with me today. I'll speak to you tomorrow.